believers can have because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the most holy place symbolizes that habitat where God abides, amen, and in that part of the sanctuary, that part of the temple where the presence of God exists. Now, all believers today, because of what Christ has done, can enter directly into the presence of Almighty God. This privilege is no longer limited to the old priests. It's not limited to pastors and deacons, but every child of God, every person who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, has been granted access into the Holy of Holies. We can approach God because of the blood of Jesus, not because of any animal sacrifice that was ever made under the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. All who have found relationship with Jesus Christ can boldly enter into the presence of God. Now, you know how it is when you get home and, you know, you've been away from home. And for those of us who don't live in our native area where we were raised, and you get to mama's house and you just kind of go on in. And you don't start looking around and ask if it's okay, can I sit here, can I do this? But no, you know where, you just go on in and you at home. And so it is with us today when it comes to our relationship with God. We have boldness and we can come before God in perfect truth and allow him to receive us because of the relationship that we have. The blood of Jesus Christ opened the door, established a brand new relationship with God, and because of that, we have the privilege and we should exercise the boldness that God has given us for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. You know, we shouldn't be ashamed, amen, when people ask us, why you act like that? Why you talk like that? I talk like this because I'm a child of God. I don't talk like this. I act like this because the Holy Spirit lives down on the inside of me. And you know, and when we do that, people say, oh, you know. But we are bold in a lot of ways. We need to be bold. We need to exercise the boldness that God has given us because of our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore, brother, having boldness, amen. If we got boldness to enter into the presence of God, why should we be shy about being bold when we talk to people about the Lord in living the life that God has called us to live? The second point is that we have a new way, and we have a new high priest. And it says in verse 20, by the new way and living way, by the new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, we have boldness to enter the holiest of holies because Jesus, amen, is what? The new way. And he is our new priest. He serves as our great high priest to encourage us to enter into the presence of God. Christ's way is the only way. Jesus told his disciples that what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except by me. And he made a way for us, a living way that is both effective and enduring. This stands in contrast to the old, weak, ineffective rituals and of the priest of the past. We don't have to walk up to God half-hearted, but we can come to God boldly and say, Father, you told me in your word, you promised, and talk to God because we have that access and we have that boldness that is ours because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, early Christians, they were called, what, people of the way. But Christ's atoning work has provided free access for us directly to God. And see, the thing is, you know, people always say, well, how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning, because the curtain here refers to the veil, refers to the flesh of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews, it symbolizes Jesus' human life. Now, Jesus opened the new way to God. Jesus presented his life and his body in order to bring us to God. Now, 1 Peter 3:18, it tells us, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us," what? "To God." Amen. "Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Jesus' life and his sacrificial death, amen, open up the Holy of Holies that you and I can come directly into the presence of Almighty God. And that was part of his priestly service. And because we have a new way of living, we have a new high priest, let us boldly enter in to the presence of God. And that is my third point, Hebrews 10:22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Remember that word assurance, y'all. I'm going to come back to it later. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now we can approach God because we are covered by the grace and the mercy of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. It is over us. We operate under the umbrella of his covering and his blessing and his grace. And for that reason, we can come into the presence of God. And these blessings bring us many privileges. Yeah, we need to understand that the exhortation here is that what we draw near to God. We draw near to him because of the way that Christ opened up for us. Therefore, conditions that we need to adhere to in approaching God. And the first one is that we need to come, according to the scripture, with sincere hearts. We don't need to approach God with any hypocrisy or trying to snow him or trying to keep him from knowing the truth, because God is omniscient and he already knows all. Therefore, we need to come to him, and it calls for genuine, wholehearted devotion to God. We need to come to him in sincerity of heart. And then we need to approach him in full assurance of faith. And this demands bold confidence, if you will, that Jesus has provided access, and God is there waiting for us to enter his presence in order to give us our heart's desire. So we need to come in full assurance of faith. We need to come believing that whatever I ask God for, that he's going to give it to me. I'm trusting God because he has never failed me yet. Thirdly, we need to have our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience, according to the 22nd verse. Amen. And which requires our continual confession of sin and complete openness to God. See, there's no point here. I mean, I understand when you go to your best friend forever, you know, and you kind of sweeten the story, you kind of soften it a little bit. But with God, you just need to come in with complete boldness and confidence and say, "Lord, I failed." And that was David's confession when he had fallen into temptation and had committed sin and had committed murder and all those things. He came completely open that he might have his conscience cleansed and his heart sprinkled, amen, with the washing of the blood of Jesus. And see, guilt can't be removed. Our consciences do condemn us. God gave us that mechanism to help us repent and stay in line with his will. Now, but the conscience is going to do its job. But sin and guilt cannot be removed, or vice versa. Guilt cannot be removed until sin is removed. Oh, but when we embrace Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Finally, our bodies are to be washed with the word, with pure water. He has given us living water, and the Holy Spirit, what, changes our lives. It is the same cleansing that Paul referred to in Titus 3:5 when he said the washing of regeneration. It's the same water that Paul referred to in Ephesians 5:26 when he said the washing of water with the word. And we need to understand it is a symbolic thing in a sense, but it has a real spiritual significance and impact, because the word of God helps us come into the presence of God. The word of God helps us to receive the blessings of God, and it washes away those impure thoughts, those things that cause us to drift away from the will of God. In our new state of purity, it is, and it was made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ, in a new state of purity. Hear me now. In a new state of purity, believers can come boldly to God and then lay claim on his grace, lay claim on his mercy, knowing that it belongs to them because of the sacrificial work of our Lord and our Savior. Then my fourth point is just, let me encourage you to hold on. He says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The reason people fall in life is because they don't hold on tight enough. Marriages fail because we don't adhere or hold on to the vows we make when we say I do. Businesses fail because they don't adhere to their corporate principles and continue to exercise those, because those foundational principles and policies are the things on which that business was founded. Teams fail, amen, we saw that back in the Super Bowl, because they don't follow their game plan. They don't stick to what works, and it takes us doing those things that we know are effective, those things that we know are true in our walking with the Lord. See, a lot of people fail in dieting because they lack consistency and adhering to the lifestyle change. And we have to hold on, especially when things get hard, when things get tough. And, you know, that's the time when you tighten your grip and you determine that I don't care what comes or what goes, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on to my faith. We have to learn to be consistent in our devotions with God. Our time of Bible reading, our time of prayer, our time of worship, we have to be consistent in order to gain the maximum benefit from those times. And then the scripture says unwavering. And that to me pictures an object that stands perfectly, that is perfectly perpendicular, and that it doesn't matter what happens. And you watched a flagpole, and a flagpole may lean a little bit depending on the wind, but when the wind stops, it comes right back to that perpendicular position. And we are to lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ and never let go. No persecution, no threat, no fear, no sickness, no trial should reduce or lessen our enthusiasm and our passion for Christ, because none of these things can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. See, it's possible to live an unwavering life holding on to the promises of God. Well, God is faithful, and he provides the strength and the stamina for us to endure whatever comes against us. God's faithful character is beyond our human comprehension in his strength. We hold on unwaveringly. We read about the honor roll of faith in Hebrews 11. We see the power of consistently holding to the promises of Almighty God. We see where Joshua and Moses and Barak and Gideon and Samuel and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and all of these men experienced victory in their lives because they held on to the unwavering promises of Almighty God. It is imperative that we as believers hold on to the Word of God. When a person hears the gospel, and see, a person has to hear the gospel in order to be saved. Romans 1:16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. And when a person hears the gospel, they hear the truth of the gospel, it does one or two things. They either accept it and they become saved, or they fall back into that apostasy where they are lost. A true believer always endures to the end. He or she may get discouraged, they may get frustrated, and may even occasionally fall into a sinful habit, but they hold on to their profession of faith without wavering. They hold on to that because the one who made the promise is faithful. A true believer's faith and hope are never in vain, because it's in the one who never fails. It's in the one who is always faithful to his promise. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you, listen to this now, so you understand God is always faithful. He who calls you is faithful, who also what? Will do it. And we can have confidence because God will always do his part. The need is that you and I do our part as believers and children of God. Hold on. Let me close with an old story. There was a young boy who rode downtown with his father. And his father had to take care of some business, and the boy was so enthralled looking into the window of a dime store. And the dad said, you want to go with me? He said, no, no. He said, well, I'll be back in about half an hour. Just stay right here. Don't go nowhere. You stay right here. And the dad left. And while he was gone, his car broke down. And he didn't have a phone, and he couldn't get the car going in it. Hour after hour just continued to pass. And after about 5 hours, he finally got back, and he was worried sick because he felt like his son would be in a state of terror, that he would be in rage because his father had left him for so long. And when he rolled up to the dime store, he saw his son. He was just standing there, looking in the window, rocking back and forth on his heels. And the dad ran over and he hugged his son and kissed him, and he said, I'm so glad that you're still here. He said, weren't you worried? And little boy said, no. Did you think I wasn't coming back? The little boy said, no. And he said, well, why weren't you worried? He said, because you told me. You said you were coming back. And his dad, because of his consistently keeping his word with his son, removed worry from that boy's mind. He removed it from his heart. And see, we have that same assurance because of the promise of God. We have that same assurance because Jesus died out on Calvary late one Friday evening in order to save us from our sins. See, they nailed him in his hands and they drove nails in his feet and they raised him up between two thieves out on Mount Calvary. Yeah, and he hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour. While he was hanging there, the sun refused to shine. While he was hanging there, the moon dripped down in blood. Yeah, while he was hanging out on the cross, my Bible tells me that the earth began to quake and rock and reel like a drunken man. Yes, somewhere about the ninth hour, I heard him when he said, Father, it's finished now. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, gave up the ghost out on Mount Calvary. They took him down before the sun set that day. Yeah, and they laid him in old man Joseph's new tomb. They rolled a stone up to the door, and he laid there all night Friday night. Yeah, all night Saturday night. Yeah, but early Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave, took the sting from death and the power from the grave, declared that all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Yeah. And I can agree with Dr. Watts when he said, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I want you to know that assurance is better than insurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. Yeah, I've got assurance that when this life is over, hallelujah, when this life is over, I'm going to enter into the presence of God. But until that day comes, I just stopped by this morning to tell you, I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm going to hold on through the storm, through the wind, through the rain. I'm going to hold. Until my change comes. God is faithful. All we have to do, trust him, believe him, hold on. See, Sister Benita held on. Kathy's up walking around doing things. we have to do is trust him and hold on to his promises. I don't care what the doctor says. My faith is not in the doctor. My faith is in God, who is able to do all things but fail. Christian Charity, church family, Facebook family, hold on. Change is going to come. You will make it. Yeah. Thank God for this time. If you are listening and you're present and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, bow your head with me. And just repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I believe the gospel that you died for my sins and you rose again. And now that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, save me eternally. Make me a new creation. That my life will be to your glory, that it will be to your honor. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I believe that it's done right now. In Jesus' holy name. You prayed that prayer. Yeah, go ahead, John. Don't worry about a thing. Hold on. Change is coming. Thank you.